superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Microsoft Teams. When there's more ways to be together, there are more ways to be a team.
I still think Michigan waves the white flag, potentially avoids playing Ohio State.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
This weekend would be Michigan versus Ohio State.
Live.
It is canceled.
From the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I am not here for the whole Michigan's ducking Ohio State thing.
The Rich Eisen Show.
It should not be entertained.
Earlier on the show, Pro Football Hall of Famer Chris Carter, legendary broadcaster Bob Costas. Coming up, Yankees first baseman Luke Voigt, co-host of Good Morning Football, Kyle Brandt, NBA on TNT analyst Kenny the Jet Smith. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, everybody. Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show on the air. If you're just joining us, my sides are still hurting from how...
My cheeks hurt, man.
How hard we were laughing at Bob Costas joining us to personally confirm that the account that bore his name on Twitter that was supposedly real was not him. The account has been since taken down. Everybody go back to your homes. There's nothing to see here. But it was still laugh out loud hilarious. Bob's reaction to it. We're going to place it up on our Twitter handle at Rich Eisen Show right away. And also it's on our YouTube page, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. And of course, for those who are watching us every single day on NBC Sports on Peacock, and we say to our Sirius XM channel 211, NBC Sports Audio, and also Rich Eisen Show Radio Network listening audience, certainly here in the mightier 1090 in Southern California. If you don't have Peacock, it is free. You can see it every day, our show from 12 to 3 Eastern time. And when it's all over, you go to this part of the tile right up on your screen on Peacock, the sports tile, and you can get every show you wish to rewatch later on in the day. Got to check it all out. We'll put it up there. Kyle Brandt of Good Morning Football is going to be joining us in later on in this hour. We'll talk about everything from last night's Week 13 finale of the Ravens coming up with the must-win. The Cowboys looking dreadful at 3-9 right now. Kenny the Jet Smith in hour number three as the NBA season is going to tip off coming up very shortly, in about 10 days from now, about 2 weeks from now, actually. The NBA season is going to tip off. Everything going on with James Harden and so on and so forth. Kenny the Jet Smith will join us. But here to talk about the U.S., as courtesy of USAA, talking about the Army-Navy game that his brother played in. And Chris Brockman, you know, this is going to get me some daddy points at home because, you know, we watch Yankee baseball all the time.
Of course.
The man who led the major leagues in home runs this past season, first baseman of the New York Yankees, here to talk some football is Luke Voigt. How are you, Luke?
Yeah, I didn't know you were a Yankees fan.
Oh, Luke.
Wow.
In Staten Island, I fell in love with the New York Yankees, and I'm going to date myself because I know you're a youngster, Luke. You're 29. I fell in love with the New York Yankees when Chris Chambliss hit a home run in 1976 to make the World Series, and I have been a diehard ever since.
Oh yeah, good. Oh,
and as you know, Luke, I don't know if you've been watching my career at all. As a broadcaster, I am a savage in my version of the box, so that's me.
Yeah, you might have had me in the 40-yard dash too.
Oh, I don't know about that, Luke. I don't know about that. I know you don't steal a lot of bases, but you
saw me hobbling around the base pads this year, man. I couldn't have beat a turtle this year.
Well, you certainly. Well, it doesn't matter, I guess, when you put it over the fence, you put it over the wall. Before we get into a little bit of everything going on, how have you been handling your success, Luke? I mean, your life has certainly taken an uptick in terms of recognizability and also success. What has this been like for you the last couple of years?
It's been awesome, man. It's been a blessing for sure. You know, I never thought I was going to get traded when I was in the minors in St. Louis, and you know, I took it and ran with it, man. But you know, my life hasn't changed, man. I'm just a Midwest boy. You know, I just moved down to Florida, so I'm trying to get better at golf and do a little bit of fishing. So life is good, man. I can't complain.
So and you grew up, if I'm not mistaken, Midwest in Missouri, and now here you were playing for the St. Louis Cardinals, and you got traded. Was that something that depressed you, disappointed you, shocked you? How would you term that, even though you were going to the New York Yankees?
Well, I mean, I would say, you know, St. Louis is probably, you know, they have 11 championships, so they're technically the second best team. And, you know, obviously I get to play for the Yankees with the most championships in all sports. So a little different. Obviously the fans are a lot different. Everybody says I'm the first Yankee fan that looks like a Yankees baseball player or whatever, something like that. But it's been awesome, man. You know, playing in the Bronx, getting the Luke chance, you know, it's a jungle, man. But, you know, the Midwest, everybody loves you. You know, they you come in from a different team, whether you're the Cubs or the, you know, Reds, you know, the Cardinals will show some support for you. But, you know, they both pack the houses, and it's pretty cool to get to play for your hometown team, but then, you know, get traded to, you know, to the Yankees and get to wear the pinstripes, which a lot of unbelievable baseball players have, you know, played forever for. So,
well, you got the perfect first name if you're hearing any Boo Birds, right, Luke? You got the perfect first name.
Exactly. That's, you know, when I first got up, I sucked, and, you know, it still sounded like people were luking me. So
of course,
all good.
That's a perfect way to do it. And what was it like, however, this year of playing with no fans in the stands, though? I mean, I cannot imagine how weird that must have been to start things out. Certainly, you know, you've been playing in front of, even when you were playing pony ball, maybe in front of your family. Yeah. What was that like for you, Luke?
You know, I played at a small school, you know, in Missouri called Missouri State. So it was like playing, you know, at Missouri State, but we didn't get a lot of fans. But, you know, it's a lot different, man. You know, obviously New York's a different place right now. You can't enjoy the city. You know, you can't go out to dinner. You know, on the road, we were pretty much locked down in our hotels. You know, we played in Buffalo, which is different, playing at a AAA stadium. You know, it was a grind, man. But, you know, 2020 has been a grind for everybody. And, you know, we fought our way through it and, you know, fell short, you know, on the ultimate goal of winning number 28. But it was different, man. We missed the fans. You know, they make baseball what it is. And, you know, hopefully, you know, with spring training right around the corner, we can get things rolling up, you know, rolling back to normal.
Luke Voit here on the Rich Eisen Show, New York Yankees first baseman, a man who led out major leagues in home runs right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Okay, so you're talking about the Army-Navy game because your brother played in this, right? This is your military connection?
Yeah, first I got to say, go Army, beat Navy. You know, obviously this game's an unbelievable game. But, you know, I've got to go to a bunch of these, and it's, you know, my favorite sporting event. I don't know if you guys have, but it's going to beat everything. You know, usually the fans are more compassionate. You know, it's a winner-go-home game. The boys always show up regardless of records. It's just overall a fun experience, you know, with the cadets and the midshipmen marching in and then the flyovers and, you know, the whole weekend leading up to it. So you usually get the boxing matches on, you know, that Thursday or Friday. So it's an all-around awesome weekend. But, yeah, I partnered with USAA to, you know, help this Army-Navy game and, you know, help fans. If you look at, you know, both my Instagram and Twitter, you can see that I posted, you know, a picture of me, my brother, and my wife, you know, at the stadium, you know, we're used to all going to. And, you know, this year, if you visit ArmyNavyHouse.com, there'll be two winners from each side. You know, and those winners will receive airfare and hotel and game tickets to next year's game, which will be in the city, which will be awesome. And then another 1,000 will get commemorative tickets. So it'll be a fun little competition so you can put up the best picture. But it's a way to get the fan involved since they can't be at the games this year.
Yeah, upload a photo that shows off your fandom of Army or Navy and your favorite Army-Navy game memory. You're entered for a chance to win. And it's a trip, as you said, including flight, hotel, and game tickets to the Army-Navy game in 2021. That's going to be in the city, as you mentioned, the great city of New York. And again, just to make sure everyone understands, certainly Navy fans or Luke Voit fans or Yankee fans, you were rooting for Army because your brother John is a West Point graduate and played for Army from 2014 to 2017. Let's just make sure everyone understands that, right, Luke?
Yeah, so, yeah, you know, my brother was the captain and for Army for there. He was there for 5 years, 1 year at the prep, and all 4 years at West Point. And then, graduated a couple of years ago. And you know, he's the reason I wear number 59 now after Garrett took my number. So I wear a lot of fashion. And I probably have a reason to, you know, pick a number out, you know, with my brother wearing a 59. So,
well, now
hold
on a second, Luke Voigt. Hold on a second. When you say Garrett took your number, you mean you didn't take any Garrett Cole dollars from him for that, right? He didn't give you anything? He just took it, Luke?
I guess I worded that wrong, but I don't know. Maybe I got a little something, but
okay.
You know, I still have to share that.
Oh, no. I just want to make sure. I mean, because he has all the Steinbrenner dollars. Well, the ones that Stanton doesn't have. He has all of them. So I just want to make sure you did. You were able to wet your beak a little bit with something, right, Luke?
I mean, at least he could have bought me a house or paid for a mortgage off or something. You know,
he's
a rich man.
Yeah, because if I'm not mistaken, at least I saw on your Instagram feed you're expecting. Correct? You and your wife are expecting, Luke?
Yeah, it's our first kid, so super exciting.
Okay.
Just passed the first trimester, so it's scary, but you know, I'm super excited.
This is great. And 59, I guess, is your brother's uniform number when he played for Army?
Yes, sir. Yeah, so we're in that family, keeping that in the family. So it was a unique number. I had no idea what number I was going to have. And, you know, I got my brother's jersey, you know, framed up on my wall in my man cave. And, you know, my wife was like, why don't you just be number 59? I'm like, how the hell did I not think of that? I mean,
I don't know.
It's different because all the other Yankee numbers are freaking taken because they're all in the Hall of Fame.
I know, because they've all been retired. Hey, maybe 59 would look great out there in Monument Park one day. Luke, you know what I mean?
I got to hit a crap ton of more home runs there, brother.
Absolutely. So how, you know, obviously you're a man of stout size. Standing next to Aaron Judge, Luke, is that a tough two-shot for you or what? Is he taller? How much taller is he than you?
Dude, he's 6'8". I'm like 6 feet.
That's it, huh? So that's a tough two-shot, isn't it?
I mean, between him and Stanton, they could both play tight end in the NFL. They're both like two Jimmy Grahams.
So that's how tough a two-shot it is. Do you have a favorite NFL team, Luke?
Yeah, I heard you guys talking about Michigan-Ohio State thing, man. Yeah, I'm a huge football fan. I got three TVs in my basement, dude. That's all I do is watch football.
Okay, so what's your team? Who's your team?
Well, I'm from St. Louis, so the Rams, you know, broke my heart leaving, you know, Stan, you know, up and left again. So I moved down to Tampa, so I'm hopping on the Brady bandwagon, even though Brady broke my heart about, 19 years ago when they beat the Rams in the Super Bowl.
That's right.
Terry can make their damn playoff field goal, so.
So you're hopping on the Brady bandwagon. Okay.
And then I'm a Mizzou fan, too.
Okay, Mizzou fan. So is there a Yankee fantasy football league? Is there something going on?
I finished in eighth, dude. I drafted Michael Thomas.
Oh, boy.
Because I had the eighth pick, and seven running backs went all in front of him. And I was hoping I'd get Dalvin Cook at seven. He got taken by Britton, I think. And then I had to take Michael Thomas, and that has been the worst pick of all time in the first round this year. So I got screwed.
It's a tough one.
I had a chance, though.
Okay, so who's winning the Yankees Fantasy Football League right now?
I know, let's see, I think DJ's in, Britton's in. Harkey's one of our coaches. I think he's in first place.
Okay.
I think Hicks. I don't remember the other two because I lost the other night when Deontay Johnson. I had a chance to get the 60, and Deontay Johnson decided to score another touchdown. So and had like six catches. So I got screwed.
So it's a PPR league. The New York Yankees Fantasy Football League is a PPR league, Luke. So what you're saying?
Yeah, but okay. You only get half points.
Only it's a half point. Very good. All right, and when you say DJ's in. Are you talking about 2021, or what are we talking about here, Luke? What do we got
Hopefully
here?
Hopefully 2021 to 2026, whatever he gets.
How good is that guy as a baseball player, huh? How good is that guy, DJ LeMahieu?
Rich, there's a reason we call him the machine, man. And it's he's the best hitter I've ever, you know, seen live. It's ridiculous.
What do you mean?
I'm saying all-around hitter. Hit it all over the place. Double singles, you know, I've said this in interviews before, but I think he's the only guy in the big leagues that doesn't get shifted because he hits the ball everywhere.
That's why you are who you are. That's an excellent point. He is a machine. He has just been dynamite. It's just been so much fun to watch him, and I hope he gets to stick around. And then, okay, a scale of 1 to 10, how much of a red ass is Brett Gardner, Luke? Scale of 1 to 10.
Brett Gardner's the best, man. He's the best.
But
and you guys saw it even more last year when he slammed his helmet and it hit him in the face, and then he's pounding the top of the dugout. So
yeah,
he's the best, man.
He's the savage.
He's the entertainment that baseball needs. It's great, man. He's the best.
So that's also it's 11 in terms of being a red ass. 1 to 10, it's 11 for Brett Gardner.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good. Or 59. To just keep this as a something for us to have this sponsored by number 59, the uniform that Luke's brother John wore when he was in the Army-Navy game. And you should watch the Army-Navy game on CBS at 3 Eastern Time. And go to armynavyhouse.com with a photo of you showing off your fandom of Army or Navy with your favorite Army-Navy game memory. And you can win a chance to go to the 2021 game in New York City. Luke, thanks for everything that you're doing as a Yankee and for helping promote a great sporting event. And let's do this down the line. I will be more than happy to help you in your fantasy draft next year as a thank you.
All right. Yeah, maybe we'll FaceTime you and we can have a little bit of fun. But, yeah, hey, at the end of the day, go Army, beat Navy.
There you go. Thanks for the call. That's Luke Voigt of the New York Yankees. There you go. They call DJ LeMahieu the machine. That's a good point. You can't shift him.
No, you can't.
You want him.
That dude is so good.
You want him.
In the worst way.
He's going to shift over to City Field.
Yeah,
he wants him.
You want him?
Cousin Stevie, let's do this.
You want him? Cousin Stevie Cohen of the Mets?
Yes, let's go.
You want him. And you want him. Jeez. At Boston.
And you have
but
him.
On behalf of Mike Del Tufo, I'm telling you both, back off.
Ain't happening.
Back off the machine.
Keep away from our guys.
Who is the machine in Glengarry Glen Ross? Who is the machine? Was there somebody the machine?
Oh, yeah.
The only machine.
Shelly Levine.
The only machine I recognize is Burt Kreischer.
Fact.
That's right. There's another one. There's a lot of machines.
Fact.
Burt Kreischer is the machine.
Shelly Levine was the machine.
Shelly Levine was the machine.
He was losing his fastball, though.
Yeah.
Put that coffee down.
ABC. Always
coffee
be closing.
It's for closers.
I saw that scene the other day. I don't know why it was on my Twitter feed.
It just popped up.
I forget why. I think it was like Ed Harris's birthday. And we're talking about just people, the scenes that he was in. And Alec Baldwin bearing down on him in that scene.
You drove to work today in a Hyundai. I drove to work in a $90,000 BMW.
It is. That was created for the movie.
Yeah, Bears repeating. That scene, not in the play. Wrote for the movie specifically for Alec Baldwin.
That scene is amazing. Like,
and he just hits it so far out of the park.
And the question is that is obviously well known. I think Alec Baldwin chewed more scenery in The Departed.
Oh, yeah.
Hold on a second. The Glengarry Glen Ross scene.
It's about 8 minutes.
I don't know.
Like
I mean, but
8 to 9 minutes.
And it was his only scene in the movie.
Only scene in the movie.
Yep.
But the people that were sitting there, from Jack Lemmon to Alan Arkin to
Ed Harris. And Kevin Spacey is his assistant.
Okay. All of them are in this room.
Kind of runs that office.
In this scene.
Pacino was the only one that's not there.
Pacino was not there because he was out.
He's the only one that wasn't there.
But he dominated. Now, Alec Baldwin in The Departed, with a movie with everyone in it, from Leonardo DiCaprio to Jack Nicholson to Wahlberg, was nominated.
Yep.
Matt Damon,
yes.
Martin Sheen. Think about that cast. I'm just naming just a few. Alec Baldwin was in, he dominated.
In the offices? Oh, yeah.
Dominated. Like Patriots over Chargers this past week, 45-0. And then, of course, as Jack Donaghy, he owned every scene, but he didn't chew it up and spit it out and just say, you know, that's filet mignon. That's what he did in The Departed.
One of my favorites is he's talking, I think, to Damon, who plays Colin, and he was like, I'm gonna go get a smoke. You want to get a smoke? You don't smoke, do you? What are you, one of those health freaks? Go after yourself.
Right.
And it was just
like
so
where he wouldn't let him answer. He was just,
look at this smoke. You want to get a smoke?
I mean,
you don't smoke.
I'm telling you. He doesn't get.
Were they at the driving range during one of those scenes?
He doesn't get spoken about enough when it comes to The Departed because Jack,
everyone's
so Leonardo DiCaprio, Wahlberg was nominated. Truly. Every scene Alec Baldwin appears in The Departed is just like cotton candy. It's
what do you want of those health nuts?
Right. I'm gonna get a smoke. You wanna get a smoke?
Amazing.
What do you want? Fitness freaks?
Amazing.
And you know,
but when it is still all comes down to it, you know, Glengarry Glenn Ross is that whole scene.
Like the first time you watch that scene, you're like, this is bad.
And of course, you know, the rain outside, the rain, and you're hearing the silences that are the silent moments are just as powerful as the spoken moments. And I saw that the other day.
These are the leads, and you don't get them.
I mean, amazing.
Have you guys ever seen Boiler Room?
Yeah. I only saw that once, man, but that is, I know, right.
Very underrated movie, right. Boiler Room. Doesn't get talked about enough, but. That's a remote drop for me every single time that movie's on.
844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Kyle Brandt, let's get Kyle on the phone. Great chat with the Good Morning Footballs. Kyle Brandt right here on the Rich Eisen Show. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We'll take your calls as well. Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. With Together Mode, you can bring everyone together in one space in the same virtual room. You can bring the power of true collaboration to your projects with Whiteboard, drawing, sharing, and building ideas in real time, all on the same page. And with large gallery view, you can see more of your team all at once with up to 49 people on screen, all at the same time. You can even raise your hand virtually so everyone can be seen and heard. When there are more ways to be together, there are more ways to be a team. Learn more about all the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams. Lace up your boots, the Duttons are back. Yellowstone Season 3, starring Kevin Costner, is streaming now exclusively on Peacock. Whether you're a newcomer to the ranch or a seasoned pro, you don't want to miss this epic season. Stream all three seasons right now. Oh, baby!
Big sting.
I mean, huh?
Big sting.
That's hit that sting. I mean, I hit that sting like the guy whose name I forget hit Geno Smith.
You hit him in the locker room, I thought.
He broke its jaw?
He broke his jaw, man. Is it too soon?
You broke that Reed's jaw.
Wait, I remember that dude's name. Hold on.
I forget it. Right? Poor Gino.
Oh, Enimpale?
Enimpale, everybody. Enimpale, everybody.
I.K. Enimpale.
I.K. Enimpale.
Over $600.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show.
That's
so
insane.
We're talking.
I can't believe that happened.
I don't know. Geno Smith had his jaw rearranged over $600, huh?
It was because of the cost of the flight, because of the camp that he went to. That he no-showed.
Hey, that led to the Ryan Fitzpatrick era of the Jets.
The Jets are a soap opera.
Dude, Tua versus Mahomes. Allen versus Big Ben. That's just two of the matchups, week 14. Cannot wait. Let's talk about it with one of our favorites, Kyle Brandt of Good Morning Football and the 10 Questions with Kyle Brandt podcast on the Ringer and Spotify. How are you, Kyle?
Rich, electric moment in the Brandt household a few days ago. We've kind of worn out our shows and our entertainment and everything. We've watched so many this year, so we're going back to things that we missed.
Yes.
And we found this show that we're loving. And it's called I'm Sorry.
And I've never seen the show, and we're watching it, and we're liking it.
There's this fantastic female lead, and it's all based in L.A., and we like it.
Yep.
Middle of one of the episodes, mm-hmm. I'm in the kitchen. My wife Brooke's on the couch. She starts yelling, come here, get in here. I'm like, what? I look up on the screen, and I see Eisen staring back at me.
Yes.
They're at your house. You're giving away goldfish.
Yes.
I thought I knew about it. I saw you in Billions. I've seen you a bunch of things. I didn't know you were in I'm Sorry, and I want to say to you, I'm sorry. I wish I would have been there. That looked like a blast.
It was a total blast, Kyle. And you know, you don't have to apologize for anything, because I like just sneaking up on people.
Yeah.
I like sneaking up on people. And Andrea Savage, who's dynamite. I mean, she is the creator and writer, and she directed the episode that I was in. She's just brilliant. Her daughter and my son go to the school, same school together.
Oh,
so, you know, and her husband, Jeremy's like, hey, you know, there's a role that you might be perfect for. Would you be up for it? And I'm like, are you kidding me? Absolutely. Where I play a clueless dad. Whose kid is having a birthday party, and the giveaway is a goldfish, which only serves to create a problem in a household for a parent, because the goldfish inevitably will die, and you now have to talk about death with your child. And I thought that was a brilliant construct. And I'll be honest with you, Kyle, the one scene you're referring to is the only scene I'm in it. And I was disappointed when I got the script that I was only in one scene. And then I saw how I'm referenced the rest of the show with a curse word associated with my name. And I'm like, that actually might be better.
Yeah, but I saw an association with your name, and the construct of that show that's great is that there's kid time and parenting, but then there's the way that the adults talk when the kids aren't around, and there's a moment in which her husband, who is the drummer from The Wonders,
yes,
walks away from talking to you and is palpably titillated from talking to you, and she says something about, put away your rich eyes and then rhymes with loner. And I was like, wow, that sounds like a fantasy team name. That was an amazing legacy and a phrase to follow you around. So congratulations.
Thank you. I'm going to go deeper down this wormhole with you because I gave Andrea an idea that she never put into a show, but the idea was born out of she was in the room and I was in the room in the same audience at my son's and her daughter's school. And they were in the same school production, same play.
Okay.
And before the production started, the teachers who were in charge of the production thanked all the parents who were helping out throughout the entire production, making sure that it could happen. Okay. And she said she didn't want to miss any of the parents' names. So if all the parents who were involved in putting the production together could just stand up so we can give everyone a round of applause. And that happened. And my idea was, what if I was one of the parents who absolutely had nothing to do with the production, but stood up in that moment to accept applause for being part of it when everyone knew I wasn't? I wanted to be that guy and create the sort of problem of, do you call that person out? How do you call that person out? How do you shame that person who has no shame to accept that in front of the entire parent population? I think that's I would love that. That's the next role I would want to play.
Rich, I don't know if it is the Jet fan in you or maybe the coffee mug that's to your right now, but that is a very Larry Davidian storyline right there. Larry would completely call BS on the parent who stands for the applause that they didn't.
Exactly. Like, would you call the person out? Like, what would you do? Like, hey, I know for a fact you had nothing to do with this. Sit down. You know, like... Yeah.
It reminds me of when Larry and Cheryl go out to dinner with a couple that are friends with, and afterwards, when the other person picks up the check, they thank the gentleman who picks up the check, and then the wife says, "Don't you want to thank me too?"
That's
and
right.
Larry's like, "Why? You don't work. Why would I thank you?" And it becomes this terribly awkward thing that she thinks she deserves the thanks, which maybe she does, but Larry wasn't giving it to her.
Oh my gosh! My dad, may he rest in peace, loved that episode. Absolutely.
Oh God,
he loved all that. Kyle Brand here on the Rich Eisen Show. You just mentioned by mentioning the Jets, I guess in a way, what happened with the Jets the end of this week. Where does this rank for you in your football viewing? Sending eight men at a quarterback in that situation to leave the rookie playing his fifth game, an undrafted rookie on an island against Henry Ruggs. Where does that all rank? What Greg Williams dialed up for you?
It's up there. It's a half measure. I mean, he sent eight. He could have sent 11. He actually kept a few people back and. Every layer of this is weird. I think one of the most underrated layers is that the cornerback who was beaten, his name is Lamar Jackson.
That's right.
What the hell is an undrafted rookie from Nebraska named Lamar Jackson, who, God help him, it's not his fault. I was wondering if there was going to be a Buddy Ryan, Kevin Gilbride moment on the sideline with Adam Gase literally assaulting Greg Williams. And I wouldn't have blamed him. Like, if you don't stand for anything at this point, listen, say what you want about the Jets, whether the organization wants to win or lose. I have to think Adam Gase wants to win the game.
Of course.
And one was just completely taken from him. So I got to admit, I love listening to you guys during the commercial. And I heard the name I.K. Enampali, which is just filed away in like a 2013 time capsule for me.
Yes.
But it's up there with Enampali. And we've talked about this before, Rich. There's only like three highlights in Jets history, and I think it's Joe waving the finger running off after the Super Bowl, Jumbo Elliott and the Monday Night Miracle, and Bart Scott saying can't wait. Those are the three good ones. But there's 500 bad ones, and I can't think of a better one. Even this side of the butt fumbles, blast on this is, as Derek Carr to Henry Ruggs, beat to beat Lamar Jackson.
Well, even crazier is I just shot the latest episode of The Grind that's going to be on Epix tonight at 9 Eastern time. I shot it yesterday. I had no idea, but of course NFL Films, which produces it, knows this sort of thing. That Ruggs catch was 50 years to the day. To the day when the old Oakland Raiders did it to the Jets in Shea Stadium with a bomb from the middle of the field to beat them. Like, literally, yeah, I didn't know that. And they're going to show that footage tonight.
And was that a Stabler throw, or is that the right area? I don't remember that
play. It's got to be, you know.
Oh, that's so cool.
50 years to the day. It's insane. It's insane when these two teams get together. I got Kyle Brandt here on the Rich Eisen Show. Okay. To me, the Week 14 schedule... certainly on the AFC side, is like a scheduled version of an angry run where, you know, where it just makes me want to get up off the couch and just go and stand up and go hit somebody myself. I mean, kudos to the chef, you know, and Howard Katz and Mike North and the rest of the crew.
Sure.
I mean, and I just want to walk down it with you, certainly starting with the Steelers team that you said was going to go to the Super Bowl preseason, just coming off of their first loss. Would you say that the 21st century version, and I know that he's been playing most of his football in the 20th century, if not obviously all of it, but Josh Allen is this generation's version of Big Ben? What do you think about that idea?
I like it. I like the stature. I like the arm. When I was coming off watching that Bills game the next morning, which I think was the best game of Josh Allen's professional career.
I agree with that.
I came away saying, this guy looks like 6'5" Aaron Rodgers. Like, he looks like a steely, cold-blooded sniper. And I'm there with you on the Roethlisberger, but honestly, even better than Big Ben. Even when in Ben's early young career winning the Super Bowl, I think Josh Allen looked more talented and a better runner. Like, he looked the other night like a top three guy. Because the thing is always with him, it's just you need some poise. I always compare him to Johnny Knoxville. Like, he's just crazy sometimes. He pulls laterals out of his backside and he throws it to people who aren't receivers. It's like he gets a little sugar high sometimes. Not in that game. I mean, his pulse did not bounce the entire time. And these are the games on national television now, the games that count. And Josh Allen, over the next month, is going to be one of the few faces of the league. He's on national TV a bunch, including this Sunday night against the Steelers team that can't catch a pass, can't make a tackle. Like, there's blood on the water in Pittsburgh. They went from 11-0 to, like, sound the alarm right now.
Well, and because they, I guess, Connor needs to come back healthy. Can't have Big Ben throw it 50 times. You just can't. Just cannot do that. Certainly against a team like Washington. I mean, you're basically running straight into the headwind with something like that.
Yeah.
And the way that the Bills looked, again, I know that the 49ers are getting inconsistent play from their quarterback, but the Bills' defense, I would say, is going to be amped. It's one of those games, man, I wish there were fans. I mean, could you imagine
the
Western New York getting lubricated, everybody from Pittsburgh coming up straight line to be hanging out and burning tables in the parking lot all day? I mean, this would be amazing.
It's why we do it. It's why we got into this.
I know. And
if I'm Ben,
yes.
This is the time of year, Rich, when the rich quarterbacks, they get their receivers and their linemen the gifts. And they get them the watch or the fancy grill or the ATV. They get the gifts. And they have everybody puts on Instagram. It's great. If I'm Roethlisberger, I'm going to say enough of this. I'm trying to win a Super Bowl this year. This may be my last year. I'm going to get from my wide receivers, I'm going to get them a gift. Mm-hmm. I'm going to buy each one of them a signature jugs machine with an extension cord so they can put it in their back seat and remember how to catch. And I'm going to put that on Instagram because these receivers, Juju and Claypool, they're great on TikTok and good for them and God bless them. They've been terrible, terrible on the field. I mean, to your point about the Bills game, the Steelers receivers have been embarrassed 2 weeks in a row. And they're likable guys, young, energetic group. They're going to go against the Trey White and the Jordan Poyer and those guys in the Bills secondary, and the Steelers better find their dignity back because the Steelers receivers completely embarrass themselves. Get them just
besides
co-sign it.
There
it
was. I think you got a co-sign. Yeah, that's the co-sign from the coach right there. That's our new drop off sucking. We got that. So Mahomes and Tua too, man.
Oh my God.
Right? I mean, just when, the Dolphins, by the way, I was talking about this because I, one of my, if you will, four downs yesterday was the Saints are a defensive team that, and dressed up in offensive guru clothing.
Sure, they're great.
Right. And, but Pittsburgh has the number one scoring defense, giving up just 17.6. Right behind them is Miami, 17.7. Here we go. Kyle Van Noy was all over the place, and I know Cincinnati is Cincinnati. But this defense is ready to roll. Flores wants to have a pelt on the wall. And here comes Kansas City coming in after a few weeks where they haven't been dominant. I mean, they have. I mean, it's been a while. The Jets game was the last time where Mahomes did whatever he wanted to do, and there really was nothing in doubt. Okay. Mm-hmm. And they've played it all. They played it all like what happened against Denver this past week. They also got in a shooting match with Vegas, right? And Kansas City also had that game against Tampa where they got up big and did whatever they wanted in one quarter and then had to hold on for dear life. So this one's going to be amazing, too. 2 versus 6. Certainly, if you think the Steelers are vulnerable later on that night, Kansas City doesn't want to have Pittsburgh take the field knowing that they've already lost, too. This is big. I can't wait.
It's really big. And I look at Miami right now. There was that terrible, ugly, strange incident against Cincinnati with the two special teams hits.
Right.
And I came out on Monday morning on our show in the morning, and I said, I want to do a whole thing on Brian Flores. Give me the tape of him. Give me the incident. I want to stand on a soapbox and scream about this. I was discouraged from doing that due to sensitivity with the extracurriculars, and I appreciate that. Why? However, Brian Flores, I think, won so much more love and loyalty from the Dolphins locker room that he already had before that. If you have your head coach, actually standing in the middle of the field looking for a piece of someone. Look, there's a few coaches in the league who would do that. There's a few coaches who would want to make you think that they would do that, and they're posers, and they want to be held back. Flores was ready, and his message was like, you're going to hurt our guy, and that's enough. One time you can do it, second time, I will literally fight you right here in the field, full men in full pads. I got goosebumps when I saw it, and I can't even imagine being in the locker room. Do not underestimate the power of a Miami team that totally believes in its head coach on the last month of the season. I think they're incredibly dangerous, and it would not shock me if they won this weekend at all.
And then rookie receiver Lynn Bowden Jr. went up to Flores after everyone went back to their sidelines and tried to give Flores a fist bump, and Flores didn't basically return to, like, I'm your head coach. We don't fist bump here. I don't do that. Like, I just was out there, but I'm back on the sideline. I'm your coach. He does seem to be hitting every note correctly, even with putting Tua back in. And, again, I know it's Cincinnati. If they win against Kansas City, you can point to the fact that he got Tua back in against Cincinnati as an important moment. And then this is big for Kansas City to basically say, okay, nice feel-good story, but it's midnight and you're a pumpkin again. This is a big – I can't tell you how exciting – this game is for me, as well as the one that we just mentioned on Sunday Night Football. And then you've got a game that plays into our poll question that I'm going to have Chris Brockman ask you right now. You've got the Colts at the Raiders right there on the, if you will, new playoff Mason-Dixon line. Go for it, Chris Brockman. Hit
what
it.
You got, Chris?
Yeah, Kyle, who ends up the 7th seed in the AFC? Colts, Raiders, Ravens, Patriots.
Colts, Raiders, Ravens, Patriots. I do not believe in the Patriots, and I know there's some of the most dangerous words to say in all of sports media, but I think it was more dangerous when Tom Brady was the quarterback.
Right.
Cam right now is reminding me of something the Boston fans have seen before. They reminded me of the Big Shamrock when Shaquille O'Neal showed up at about 36 years old, contributed, was fine, but gassed, not himself. And the difference is that Cam does not have the big ticket and Paul Pierce and Ray Allen around him. He has Gunnar Olszewski. God love him. I do not think the Patriots are going to get there. The Dolphins, I really like. The Raiders, I am such a fan of the Raiders brand and company, and I want them in the AFC playoffs. It is someone in the WWF Royal Rumble that shakes things up. It's a bad guy. It's The Undertaker. It's Big John. I want them in. But, God, I just saw them get destroyed by Atlanta and need what appeared to be an inside job to beat the New York Jets, who might be the worst team ever assembled. So I don't think it's going to be the Raiders. And, Brockman, tell me again, who am I missing?
Ravens and Colts are your choice that you've just narrowed it down to.
I'm going to go, man, what we saw last night from Baltimore is exactly what you don't want to see if you're one of these teams. Like, that Colts, Dolphins, all these teams – damn, we did not want to see Lamar get going. It was like a proverbial home run hitter. Say whoever you want. Adam Dunn, Ryan Howard, Mark McGuire, who hadn't hit one in a while and just decided to swing out of his shoes and hit one about 600 feet. Them getting that run game going, shock and awe. Absolute shock and awe. So I'm going to say, despite that, my roundabout answer, I never count out Frank Reich. Frank Reich gets out of bed down 4 touchdowns in a fight. I still think the Colts are going to get there despite what happened to them against Tennessee. I'll bet on them.
Yeah, and the Ravens' conference record right now is an awful tiebreak for them. That's the reason why they're behind the Raiders right now, having the same record.
Mm-hmm.
Their conference record is an issue and a problem, and here come the Browns.
Pushes the best.
I know, and that's what this week is amazing. It ends with the Browns trying to just absolutely de-cleat the Ravens. I mean, the Ravens, as we know, have given the Browns and Baker Mayfield their worst losses in the Baker Mayfield era. And they are, even though, as you mentioned, you know, having that home run hitter back in the groove again, they're still on the ropes here. And boy, I mean, this would be the knockout. This would be just a way for them to also say, we are here and we are for real and we are a 10-win team, for crying out loud. And we're going to break that 17-season playoff drought and so on and so forth. That's why I love this week, man. This week 14 is amazing.
Yeah, it just stakes. The Browns get to 10 wins and knock out the MVP. The flip side of it being, it is the ultimate back to the shallow end loss for the Browns should the Baltimore Ravens roll over them and say, yeah, same old Browns, and guess what, Baker, those commercials ain't so funny anymore. It's the stakes. It swings either way. It's going to be a huge statement next day.
Kyle, thanks for the time, man. I'm glad you found it. I'm sorry. It's a brilliant show. That's a good one.
Oh, it's the best.
It's
I'm going to go watch. I'm sorry, Rich. In the meantime, one of these days we got to do this in person.
Yeah,
I will be enjoying my Rich Eisen phoner.
That's it. Kyle, you're the best. And your pod is off for the rest of 2020? Is that what you're...
See you in season 2 next year.
Okay, fantastic. And well done. Thanks for the call.
Thank you,
we'll
man.
Do it again soon. That's Kyle Brandt right here on the Rich Eisen Show. I love him, man. He's what a mind. I mean, seriously, to equate Cam with... The big Shamrock Shack is an outstanding, you know what, now you could see why Simmons loves having him on his platform right there. I mean, that's as Simmons as you can get right there to take that New England combination. Then Adam Dunn, I haven't heard that name in a while.
Oof.
But that's a good analogy. Guy's been striking out a lot, but when he connects, that's a 600-footer.
Yeah.
And that's why I kind of was talking his language. This week's schedule is the angry run. It gets me off my couch, and I am excited for it. We got 2 more days to chop it up about what this is, including tomorrow night's kickoff.
Tomorrow night's game is enormous.
It is a big one.
Huge.
In both conferences. Belichick and McVay. Oh, baby. Here we go.
Here we go.
Oh, let's take a break. Your phone calls, 844-204-RICH. We'll take them. Set up hour number 3 as well with Kenny the Jet Smith. That's right here on the Rich Eisen Show on NBC Sports on Peacock. Now, there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in one space with a new virtual room. Collaborate live. Drawing, sharing, and building ideas with everyone on the same page. And make sure more of your team is seen and heard with up to 49 people on screen at once. Learn more about all the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams. Can't talk about this enough. I mean, Sunday Night Football, and then kudos to NBC. And, you know, for their Week 15 flex. There's no chance, right? Oh, is it Cleveland at New York? Is it Cleveland at New York? Is that what it is? Cleveland at New York. I don't think Fox was sitting there after Week 1 and 2 when the Giants gets waxed by the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I know I got somebody at Twitter saying they didn't smoke them. That thing wasn't in doubt at all.
Right.
That night.
It was not.
And, you know, score-wise, it might have looked somewhat close at some point, but it wasn't. And then they lose Saquon in Week 2, the Giants. Cleveland gets destroyed by the Ravens. And then they bounce back against Cincinnati, and everyone's probably thinking, well, you know, Joey Burrow still hasn't, you know, much chops in the NFL. Not knowing that the Cleveland Browns were about to go on a 4-game win streak. And back here on the Rich Eisen Show on our radio network. And the New York Giants, you know, Fox couldn't tell that their moxie against the Bears almost winning that at the very end, having lost Saquon Barkley, was an indication of how tough this Giants team was going to prove. NBC, looking at that game, Cowboys and 49ers, after looking at the Cowboys last night and the 49ers looking the way that they did this past week and saying, let us go and let us get Cleveland at Giants for Sunday Night Football, I'm all in. Outstanding flex. That's what the flex is there for. Oh, couldn't be more fired up. And, you know, you understand where I'm going with Josh Allen as a younger version of Big Ben? Tall.
I do.
Big arms.
Loves to get out of the pocket.
Difficult to take down. Yeah. Takes chances. And the young Big Ben for those millennials. The young Big Ben, and he still is this way. Most quarterbacks, when they're hit, the play is over. For Big Ben, when he's hit, the play just begins. And I think Josh Allen is kind of like that, at that size. But Kyle Brandt, like, kind of honed it. He workshopped it. He's just a 6'5" Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I think Josh Allen could be better than Ben Roethlisberger.
That's a tall order. This weekend, though, he can be. And that would be big for the Buffalo Bills. Just big. Huge. Because then we'll be talking about, can they catch the Steelers in the standings?
They'll be only a game back.
That's correct. With the tiebreak in their pocket. Can the Steelers go from undefeated to maybe not even being one of the top two seeds?
Yeah,
it's possible.
Because Pittsburgh still has Cleveland at the end of the season.
Oh, man, week 17.
If they're both 13-3, boom, Browns, two seed. Excuse me, Bills, two seed.
Right.
Maybe the Browns could be the two seed.
And the Steelers could fall into the wild card? I don't even know.
It's possible.
I mean, I don't. It is in the realm. It is in the realm. Right now, they're two back. And I don't know the full other tiebreakers right now. Pittsburgh has already beaten Cleveland this year, earlier on this season. That ended Cleveland's first four-game win streak of the year. And I have two. Last time that happened for the Cleveland Browns, 1967. Talked about that earlier in the week. Let's go back to the phone lines right now. Jason in Miami, you're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Jason?
Hey, Rich, how you doing, man?
How are you?
How you guys doing, Brock, man, TJ, Mike?
Hey,
guys. Right, so
what's happening, buddy?
I want to remind you, Rich, I got two things I want to get to real quick.
Okay.
I want to remind you of something that happened in 1996.
Okay.
All right, let's go to the NBA. The San Antonio Spurs, they had a good team, a perennial championship contender, but their best player got hurt. Went down, and ultimately they wound up having the worst record in the league. What do? They drafted Tim Duncan.
Yep.
The rest is history. So listen, all of the Cowboys fans, all right, stop it. Stop with rooting to win, all right? I'm on your side, Rich. Stack those L's, baby. Right now we got the fifth draft pick. It's not like we're just bad for being bad. We don't have a quarterback. So let us get these L's. Let's get this draft pick. And listen, TJ, this is for you. If they draft, I know Jerry likes shiny things. If they draft one skilled position, I'm out. I'm out. We need offensive linemen. We need a safety. We need a free safety.
Yep.
Linebacker. Defensive. I don't want to see no more receivers or running backs on the draft board.
I agree.
Let's stack them L's. Get into the draft, and next year will be a better year for us.
Okay, two things, Jason. One, it's not that they don't have a quarterback right now. You know, Andy Dalton, when protected, is good enough. By the way, Andy Dalton's got a revenge game this week, if there's such a thing. They take on the Cincinnati Bengals, and you know, he's not being protected well enough, or the defense just can't. Play the way that it's playing. So they should draft somebody on defense at that top level pick, and they should get that playmaker. And you're right, they should not go there. And in terms of, you know, losing all the games and hearing what I said and echoing that sentiment, still, when it comes to it, you're not catching the Jets. That's one thing. And number two, I feel like this should be a Seinfeld moment, Chris. I invented it's not you, it's me.
Yeah.
You can't tell me it's not you, it's me. I invented it's not you, it's me, Jason. Don't get a... You know, I don't mean to get my my dander up here.
I hear you.
You're friendly. No, you're friendly. I just, again, I just don't want anybody coming close to the Jets. Everybody back off.
Nah.
Okay. Back off.
No, I'm good with the fifth pick. I'm
okay, good enough.
Fifth,
all right.
Fourth, fifth, sixth pick. I'm good with that.
Okay. Thanks for the call.
My second point I want to make is so last week you guys had the poll about the fictitious movie character who, you know, would potentially do well, and Daniel Jeremiah came on.
Yes,
so,
in the NFL.
Right. So I was talking to my wife. I tell my wife everything. And yesterday I was like, oh, babe, we would check this out. We were talking about movie characters, and she's the movie person of the family. So I ran it down for her. I let her hear the podcast, and she talked to all her work friends. So it became this whole big thing at her job just based on the Rich Eisen show. So it's not just, you know, I pass it on. I spread the love.
Thank you.
And let it fester like that. So, but there's two things. I know that day you guys, because you already had one Adam Sandler character.
Right.
I'm pretty sure you guys mentioned The Longest Yard. I don't remember, but I'm pretty sure that was in the conversation and Brockman went with the other movie, which is cool.
Yeah.
But do you remember Fast Times at Ridgemont High?
Sure.
Do you remember when Spicoli wrecked Jefferson's car and how he played the following, I guess it's high school, so the following Friday night, jumping over the line of scrimmage and all of that? You remember that?
Yes, we actually had Jefferson in this conversation, but decided it was a little bit too obscure based on everybody else.
Well, you have to be a certain of age.
Yeah,
to know that.
Thanks for the call. We appreciate it. And thanks for passing it along to your wife, too.
Well, Jefferson was because he was still in high school.
Right.
Well, yeah. So we decided he couldn't.
I understand. Yeah, eligibility rules.
Yeah, you know.
By the way, if anybody's wondering what we're talking about, it was the 22nd anniversary of The Waterboy coming out.
Yeah. 20,
and so we decided which fictional movie football character is worthy of top overall pick status. Mm-hmm. And we had Daniel Jeremiah on to discuss it. And that still is, I think, over the last month, our most viewed video on YouTube. Maybe because people are sharing it within their family to say, you got to see this. It was really, and DJ was dynamite breaking it down.
Still number one.
Jeff in Detroit, you're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Jeff?
Listen here, I was having such a crummy day, and I'm going to tell you, this is why I love you, Unc. You and my cousins have put on a performance today that has rivaled any of Don Rickles and Johnny Carson. That interview with Bob Costas was so funny. I cried. I cried. I felt like I should be paying you. Netflix is going to call you guys. That was some funny, funny, funny TV, man.
That was funny.
That was hilarious.
Well, he's one of the best storytellers ever, and he's one of the funniest guys you can meet, and his use of the English language is just remarkable. And then, of course, you just have all that. You put it into the hopper of the absurdity that he would be on Twitter. And
now,
somebody.
Listen, I had to ask myself, am I tuning into a stand-up comedy routine? Or what? It was just. It was wonderful. You guys knocked it out of the park.
Thanks, Jeff.
Man, I needed that.
Right back at you, and hopefully you are having a better day. Oh, man. Bob Costas, I remember Letterman once had him report from a hospital. Letterman did a New Year's Eve show, and he had Bob report from a hospital to interview the parents and the staff delivering the first baby of that year. And he was brilliant. I remember this. He was brilliant. I hope it's on YouTube. He said something along the lines of like, you know, Dave, I'm here at the hospital and, you know, I'm interviewing these people and they can barely be heard over the plaintive wails of people asking for medical attention, but they're not available because they're talking to me. Something along those lines. Could not be funnier. Ugh. What a great conversation. We just posted it on our Twitter feed at Rich Eisen Show. That was just dynamite. He is not on Twitter, by the way.
Definitely not.
Do you have a news update coming up next hour, Chris? You got one of them?
Sure, I can throw
fantastic.
Some stuff.
Big fantasy news going on? Is that what's happening?
Some injury updates.
Oh, boy. And then Kenny the Jet Smith. We're going to talk some association. That's coming up. I am in fantasy league playoffs. We are today, Chris. Will Pearl of Despair has made it. And it is official.
What a comeback by
us. The Miz advances Jerry Cantrell out of his own league.
That's a shame.
The defending champ. There will be a new champion of the Allison Chains League.
Still alive.
Yeah. And we, again, words I never thought I would say. There is going to be a new champion in the Fantasy Football League of Alice in Chains because we, Chris Brockman, beat Duff McKagan to bounce Jerry Cantrell. That happened.
Still alive.
Two greats from the Pacific Northwest.
I mean, you're taking over
Duff
Seattle.
Duff McKagan beaten, but he's in it. Nope. Jerry Cantrell, because of it, we're in. Out. And The Miz advanced. He barely made it.
He's a six seed. We're five, right?
Yeah. Who are we taking on? I saw that this morning. Sad, though. One of the first things I see is, what's trending on Twitter? And then after that, it was, who are we playing? We are playing in this. Let me get it right here. We're almost there. Playoff bracket. Let's get to it. We are playing the Beverly Hills Goon Squad, whoever the hell that is.
You talking playoff?
We are. And then Duff McKagan's taking on Miz. Mike, Inez, and Fabs are the seeds on bye weeks. That's what's going on with us. What's going on with you? Call us. Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in a new virtual room, collaborate live, building ideas on the same page, and see more of your team on screen at once. Learn more at Microsoft.com/Teams.